We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You are looking live at
Brent Musburger.
Would you believe it? Greg Krenzel strikes with a minute and a half left. Holy Buckeyes!
Broadcasting legend.
Hot. College, I don't believe it. Oh. It's a touchdown. The Eagles win it.
Here's to the Division Championship. Mariners win it.
I am pleased with this selection. Oh yeah, why not a self?
That is the biggest comeback in Michigan football history.
Some of you may know him as Eminem.
You are a legend, my friend. Thank you.
You're the legend, my Thank friend.
Host on VSiN Live
for the win. Good. Ring the church bells. The Raiders are a winner. Just finished, baby.
Brent Musburger.
You've seen it before, and it never grows old.
Brent Musburger with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Legendary broadcaster Brent Musburger with us, the play-by-play voice of the Oakland Raiders, and of course from VSiN and VSiN.com. You hear the action updates in the 2 and 5 o'clock hour of the show. How's it going today, Brent?
Going good. I see that the Windy City Bears, -6.5, -275, doing 100 on the money line, over under against the Lions of 44. The Bears.
Hey, Brent.
Let's try it again.
Brent, we're going to put you on hold. Something's up with your phone connection there. So we'll circle back around and see if we can get a clear.
Knows exactly where we want to go. Just comes right out of the gate like it's the NFL today in 1975 in Peyton's rookie year, ready to explode with Bears action. I love it.
Man. And 6.5, 7? I saw 7 for a minute with the Bears.
Why would you hedge?
A touchdown favorite in the division game. That's the new
Khalil
life.
Khalil Mack is practicing. He's been, he's re-energized. They don't protect the quarterback. They being the Lions, they gave up 10 sacks last week against the Vikings. Granted, a better pass rush than the Bears without Khalil Mack in recent weeks, but there's no reason to believe the Bears can't have a party in the backfield as well Sunday.
I know. It's just, it takes some getting
used to it.
It takes some getting used to.
You'll get conditioned to it. You'll enjoy it. You'll learn to love it after a period of time, or you start fading them.
Well, right.
One of the two.
And I'm not even saying it's not deserved. It's just it's kind of crazy. Like, the Bears are a touchdown favorite in the division game. Brent, do we have a better connection?
I certainly hope so, lad. Over under on the Lions Bears, 44. How's that? Better connection?
You sound crystal clear.
Yeah, it's like 1995 in Columbus, and Eddie George is en route to winning the Heisman Trophy.
George. Oh, mercy, Dick Vermeil. I enjoyed that, Eddie George. And he went on to have a terrific NFL career and a little bit of a song and dance man, broadcaster. Yeah, he's a good guy, Eddie. I remember him well. Speaking of college football, how about Northwestern? The old alma mater with a chance to win the West, but they got their hands full. They're a double-digit underdog. I would just say to people who like to take a position on a game, Northwestern is lethal when they're a road dog by double digits. So remember that going into Iowa City tomorrow.
Does that make you proud as an alum?
Yeah, I've got to be full disclosure. I am completely surprised at the great success that they have had in football. When I was a student there and after I left, Eric Parsegian, of course, was a coach when I was there and then went down to Notre Dame. I honestly thought that Northwestern's basketball team would be the one that would carry the sports banner. I did not expect it to be football. And, of course, Gary Barnett turned the program completely around and guided the Wildcats off to the Rose Bowl, which they lost to USC. But it was wonderful seeing them there, and they've been competitive ever since. Pat Fitzgerald, a Chicagoan, born and bred and a true blue. He bleeds Chicago, and I know Notre Dame in particular has come after him at least once that I know of and turned them down. So I think it's a wonderful story up there at Evans. It's a great school. I learned a lot. I learned where the elevated trains were. I learned where the good bars were on Howard Street. Uh-huh. I love my education at Northwestern.
Have you seen the new facilities, too? I mean, it's amazing. They got a $300 million athletic complex. They just opened up a new basketball arena to a bunch of fanfare. It doesn't feel like the Northwestern of old anymore.
No, it certainly doesn't. You know, the first NCAA Final Four in basketball was played in Old McGaugh, and now they've completely remodeled. The Ryan family has been over-the-top generous to the school. You can't say enough about that. I have not seen the completed football office facility, but I'm aware of where it was going to be put, and that is just one of the great views of Lake Michigan, as you know. So that'll help them. It'll help them with recruiting. Good for them. The Northwestern alumni base, you know, they don't all live around Chicago. They're scattered around the country. Stanford, Duke, somewhat similar. Duke, of course, fills the arena in basketball because it's so much smaller. So sometimes when Northwestern hosts a Notre Dame or a Ohio State, you see an awful lot of fans come into Chicago to see the game. And I understand that because the alumni base is spread out across this country. But it's a wonderful school. I probably could not even get in it today, even coming out of prep school. You know, admissions, it's just one of those schools that youngsters like to gravitate to, and good for them. It's Evanston's a wonderful place up there, and I really, really enjoyed my time. I loved all my time in Chicago, working at the Old American and been over at BBM and off to the network. So, Chicago. The loyalty of Chicago, people ask me, one of the most loyal sports cities in the country. And I said, well, the most outspoken loyalty is in Boston and Philadelphia. I said, that's where you find that. But the fans who stay true blue when they move out are Pittsburgh and Chicagoans. I said, those are the two fan bases that I find. Even here in Las Vegas, you can find retirees from Pittsburgh and Chicago, and they stay loyal to all the teams from their cities, believe me. So I think being loyal is just a part of how you're bred in Chicago, and good for the community.
Brent, we got a great lid lifter for Week 10 tonight in Pittsburgh, but before we get to that or any other NFL stuff we can talk about today, how about a round of applause for Wagering America in Week 9 just absolutely kicking the books and the sights in the groin? That was a beautiful
thing.
All
right, public. Way to go,
nice
public.
Going. We were new.
All right. Let's hear it for the public. They did a great job. And, you know, the guys fessed up to it here in Las Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro on VSiN yesterday was saying where they really got beat up was in the teasers and the parlays. And there are a couple of teams that they could not get enough of. One of them was the Bears, but the other was the Kansas City Chiefs. They just kept riding him no matter where they put the numbers. They stayed right on top of them. So it was one. Some of the Nevada books are saying actually it's the worst weekend that they've had in a decade or two out here at some of the books, to tell you the truth. But listen, we all know that the books win the majority of the weeks, and good for the public. They've had a couple of good weeks now.
It's what keeps us coming back, is the belief that we can have a couple.
Exactly right.
Do you have a best bet for us this weekend in the NFL?
Well, you know, actually, I do like the Bears. Since they're not given the 7, you know, 7 is one of those numbers that you got to be careful with. I know it's a divisional rivalry. I thought when the Lions traded away Tate for the 3rd-round draft choice that they might have a look at the future. They're coming off a terrible, terrible game, and they're coming outside to Soldier Field. Khalil Mack coming back for Chicago. So I do like the Bears. The other line that surprised me is out in Los Angeles, the Coliseum, the Rams, coming off their loss in New Orleans, but Seattle, and they had a tough time with the Chargers, finally lost that one. I didn't expect to see a double-digit 10 come on that line, to tell you the truth. I did not expect to see the Rams. Now, obviously, the Rams got one of the best offenses in the league, but if you look at Peters on that one corner, and he went man-to-man with Thomas of the Saints, if you're a locked-down corner and you are as good as you've been telling us you are, you don't give up 211 yards to one wide receiver. And, of course, Talib is injured. Russell Wilson keeps the Seahawks in the games a lot. So I like the Seahawks with the 10. I like the Bears giving the 6.5. I don't have a position on tonight's game. I think it's a heck of a football game. I think the most overlooked good team in the league so far has been Carolina. I think that New Orleans will have its hands full. They will play the Panthers twice in the month of December. All of us are putting New Orleans in the playoffs, but that division has still got Atlanta in it along with the Panthers. Obviously, the Bucs are going to finish at the bottom. And Pittsburgh, they have suddenly come back together. Roethlisberger normally plays better at home than he does on the road. I see that the latest spread from the South Point I've got here is 3.5 with an over-under of 51. I think it's going to be a terrific football game, but I'm not going to have a position tonight because I really don't have a strong feeling one way or the other. Guys.
Yeah, I've got several Steelers fans, buddies, who are just thinking that 3.5 looks really good. The hook scares me from their standpoint, and I'm also buddies with Ron Rivera, so I'm not going to wager against him. That's the one thing I won't do. But I want to ask you this. As a veteran player, how much do you look at trends? Might it be something that if you're not sure you'll look at a trend? And the reason I'm asking is the Bears have lost 9 out of their last 10 to Detroit in 3 straight, and Mitchell Trubisky has never beaten an NFC North opponent.
Yeah, and so obviously I don't pay attention to trends. I pay much more attention to frequent numbers. Defense is very important to me. Do they keep you in the game most of the time and give you a chance? In Trubisky's case, I've listened to Jim Miller over on the NFL Network on Sirius XM, former quarterback. He has had some very nice things to say about Trubisky over the last couple of weeks. And he's got a far better eye about quarterbacking play than I do. And so I listened to these fellas. I've seen Trubisky's highlights of him running. We all know he's a terrific athlete. And terrific athletes, even like Cam Newton. Cam Newton and Norv Turner have obviously formed a great combination down there in Carolina. And Trubisky's working with Nagy. System is brand new. And Nagy's learning a lot about Trubisky. And what the Bears know is that they've got a mobile quarterback who can roll hard to the right or to the left. And if you can make a quarterback accurate coming off either side in a run-pass situation, you've got yourselves a weapon because – last week, Nick Mullins of Southern Miss stepped in and quarterbacked against the Raiders. The Raiders' defense was bewildered. They didn't have a clue that Mullins was as good coming off play-action boots, especially over the right-hand side. He was left all alone there by about, 8-9 yards, so he could find his receiver downfield and pick him up. The reason why I don't like trends is that two things change dramatically, and one is the improvement of young players. That's number one. We've talked about Trubisky. Number two is injuries, and with the Bears, the one injury that I've been looking at is Khalil Mack. Mack returned to practice yesterday, and that's all I needed to know because that means you're almost positive that he's going to go. I keep an eye on injuries, and I think about how athletes are developing. I try not to form rock-solid opinions about teams because I think that things change, circumstances change. Point spread betting is not easy, as everybody knows. I think trends are interesting. I mean, I think they're fun to look at. But you and I both know that at some point, Trubisky is going to beat a team from the NFC North. And it well could be this Sunday. Maybe it won't. Maybe the Lions will come in, play a great game, and that will continue. But I think the problem with trends is they go back too far historically, and things change dramatically over the course of time.
Right. Those losses last year were with a different coach in his rookie year, and then his only division loss this year is a 20-point comeback by Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. Hardly Mitch Trubisky's fault. In that
exactly.
spot. Yeah, so it's tough to make much of it. Brent, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Brent.
All right, guys.
We'll
take care. Have a great weekend.
You too, man.
That's Brent Musburger from VSiN and VSiN.com. The conversation brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free.
I will look at a trend only if I'm on the fence and it's one of those games where I have to have a position to be interested in it. You know,
yeah.
Island games. This is a good one tonight. Last Thursday night's game. Even as an NFL, I wasn't much interested in that thing last Thursday night.
I very rarely put much stock into trends unless it's something that makes sense that it would actually have an impact. So, for example, if a coach is great coming off of a bye.
Absolutely. Well, John Harbaugh used to be that. Yeah, yes.
But that feels to me like a tangible, measurable skill.
Bill Belichick in divisional games.
Correct. Things like that. But whereas against the NFC North, do I really think that last year's division games apply to next week or this week against the Lions when Trubisky's different and Nagy's different and Khalil Mack's here and Roquan Smith is here and none of those guys were here when the Bears were losing all those division games?
Right, and I don't believe in it either, but if the Bears get tripped up Sunday and then lose to the Vikings, you're going to see that. You're going to see it written in big, bold letters, 0-8 against the division for Mitch. That's just how it's going to go. Whether it's fair or not, it doesn't really matter because it's accurate.
Well, right. It'll be factual, but how much does it matter? Like, those will be two different things, right, that can both be true.
Yeah, like right.
It's obviously factual, but is that indicative of a real problem for Mitch going forward? I would say no. Your car seller story we'll get to in 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, 20 minutes-ish, somewhere around there. Coach Wanstead will be roaming the hallways probably very, very soon. Left a few things out for him to read if he's desirous of that.
Well, he always shows up early, so I'm sure he'll appreciate the reading material. And Theo Epstein said some stuff that I think raises quite a few eyebrows. I'll just be honest. We'll get into it coming up on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
In 2017, we didn't show up for the first half of the season, and that put us in a 5.5 game hole at the All-Star break, and we had to expend so much energy in the second half to get back on top of the division that we were fried by October and exhausted, and we didn't accomplish our goal in October. And this year, sorry, I'm not done. And then in this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Theo Epstein.
Sit up straight and let me finish.
I got things I want to say.
Sorry, I'm not done.
My state of the team address. It's brought to you by Fogo de Chão. The holiday season is a special place for gathering, and Fogo de Chão in Chicago, Rosemont, or Naperville is the special place to do it. Enjoy indulgent cuts like filet mignon or lamb chops, all carved tableside and served with the helping of cherished memories. Reservations at Fogo.com. So Theo spoke for about 25 minutes yesterday at the general manager meetings, and let's just get the hickey stuff out of the way, because it seems to me to be the most basic. Here is Theo Epstein on Jim Hickey, or really just the vagueness of the whole situation.
Not in a position to be able to formally announce the final coaching staff yet, and we'll be happy to do it as soon as we're able. That's not a subject that I'm able to address at this point, so as soon as I am, I'll talk to you guys about it.
What's the timeline on that, do you think?
I'm not sure yet. Relatively soon. We've been having some conversations with other clubs and with some agents, and in between those, we've been brainstorming ideas and trying to you know, share the information that the various Cubs personnel have been able to discover, and then try to think of some ideas off of it.
What do you read from that?
Something appears to be going on, and he's not wanting to be transparent about any of it, and I don't blame him for that. It appears coaching staff changes were not wrapped up when they showed Chili Davis the door.
I think it's just like, Hickey's gone. He has his replacement because he's like, I'm not ready to announce the coaching staff yet. That tells me that he knows who the next guy is. Maybe that's a leap, but
here's where my brain went. They are going to be having a conversation with the manager soon about his coaching staff, and until they have that conversation face to face, possibly in Joe's RV or on a beach somewhere, like when they romantically were linked the first time, then they make their decisions after getting his input and letting Madden know what their thoughts are on his staff, because they continue to tinker with it.
Right, it's not Joe's staff. anymore.
No.
This is
no, and I'm not necessarily a believer in management meddling with a coaching staff.
I get it. Well, that's why I asked yesterday if they're trying to send a message to Joe and get him up out of here.
Yeah, and I didn't think that was something that they would do, but I don't know what the tension is inside that room. I'm not privy to it, and I don't suspect anyone else who does what we do or even the reporters are writing about it, because we haven't heard anything about it other than rumors.
Yeah. I agree with you, but you would certainly think that if Joe hasn't earned the benefit of he doesn't have to be a lame duck manager when he wins 95 games a year in a World Series, you'd certainly think that he would be able to have final say over his coaching staff.
You would. Yeah.
But the hitting coach and the pitching coach, who are his guys, seem like they're both out of here. And then Theo will announce the coaching staff, presumably with his guys.
It's an interesting approach if his approach is this. You're all on alert. You know, nothing is guaranteed for anybody here, and I will do what I want to get things done the way I want. And if it hurts your feelings, too bad, so sad. We're going to play by big boy rules.
I'm cool with that. I wanted and was expecting a bolder move this offseason. And it still could happen. No one's made a bold
right.
move yet.
A free agent who can hit 40 home runs potentially is nicer than a new pitching coach.
Correct. And I never...
It feels better, like under the tree at Christmas.
Much better. And I was never... Yes, I think the Cubs have the money to spend. Yes, I think the Cubs should spend in the luxury tax if necessary. Yes, I will criticize them harshly if they don't make a significant addition to this team this offseason. I'm not ready to believe yet that the Cubs are some broke team, even though they got $220 million dollars committed to payroll next year.
Listen, I said, okay, now here's what we need to do here. You know, we need to get everybody around you, our receivers, our tight ends, our running backs, McCaffrey, Olsen, everybody needs to step their game up too. I mean, if you're going to step your game up, the quarterback's got to get everybody to buy in so that they play at a little higher level. And Norv says, as crazy as it sounds, that's kind of what's happened. It's kind of caught fire. It's caught contagious. And he said everybody's playing probably a little bit better than what they played a year ago with a little bit more confidence. And he was giving the credit to Cam. He really was.
That's awesome. Cam might be like the most singular athlete at quarterback. Like I can't think of a comp for him. I know some people say Roethlisberger. Obviously, Vic was a great athlete, but a different type of athleticism. Do you have a comp for what Cam Newton is as a quarterback?
Boy, I don't. You know, Roethlisberger would be Big Ben, you know, because I've played golf with Ben. I know Ben well, physically, athletically, you know, but I remember.
Dante Culpepper physically a
yeah,
little?
Yeah, Culpepper. When Mike Shula was the offensive coordinator at Carolina, we played him when I was at Tampa. And I was out in the field before the game talking to Mike, and Cam walked out, and he called Cam over. And when Cam walked over and I shook his hand, and I'm 6'4", and I was looking up at Cam.
Yeah, he's huge.
My thought was, and it happened in the game, if they need a yard and this guy tucks the ball, we don't have anybody on our defense that can tackle him one-on-one. I mean, the guy's going to get a yard. And that's what happened in the game. I mean, the guy is besides just being athletic, I mean, the guy's big and strong, and he's such a gifted, and he's putting up numbers, completing 66% of his passes. He's running it about 10 times a game. And Norv said, that's about what they want. He says, they're calling some quarterback runs, and then he's scrambling. So they got a nice combination now. If you're defending Carolina, you have to defend Cam running as much as passing. And that puts a lot of pressure on a defense.
Yeah, when he's on, he seems as dangerous as basically any quarterback in the NFL. The problem is he's got such a wide range. He hasn't been consistent.
Well,
yet.
Let me tell you something. And Norv told me this. If that game tonight, if Cam's struggling, and Norv told me this, you know, he says maybe the most underrated player as far as being a tough runner.
McCaffrey. Yeah.
He says this guy, Dave, is 205, 210 pounds. And at Stanford, they run the power. They run what we ran here at the Bears when I was here in the Dolphins and everywhere I coached. And that's what Norv's running. Norv's running that same offense, Dallas. Mm. He's running. He'll run him between the tackles and pound it up in there. And he's not afraid to give him the ball 25 times if he has to.
Parkins and I on Monday had a spirited 15-minute debate that turned hot for a little bit. And it was good. It was fun. Regarding what Michael Thomas of the Saints did with his cell phone on Sunday. And yes. He wants to get his prop out of there. What would you have said to him if you were Sean Payton?
Oh, you know what? I would have said, you know, it's a distraction. Don't be a distraction for our football team. And then, you know, the league's going to fine him for that, and he'll have to pay a fine, I'm sure. I mean, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I'm all for the celebrations. I love what these guys do in the end zone, the team thing. I kind of look forward to it when they score.
Right.
Start to see what they're going to do. I mean, it's kind of fun, but I don't know. The individual stuff and the cell phone, because now all of a sudden someone's going to pull out a pen and start signing autographs again. You know what I mean? It's just, where does it stop? So I would make a point that, hey, you know what? We don't need that. I don't want that. I get your point. Celebrate, do something, but not that.
Well, listen, Mac, I told you. I didn't expect Sean Payton to like it. I just loved it.
Well,
and I don't think it should be against the rules.
It is.
Where's it going to stop? Now the guy's going to have a pen. He's going to sign the goalpost, or he's going to sign. You know what I mean? Where does it start when you start bringing stuff in like that?
If he does it with 22 seconds left, I'll live with it. There was 3:56 left the clock in a 10-point game, and they got a kicker who can pound it out of the end
zone. Absolutely. That's even more of a point. You know what I mean? Because it's against the rules, and that's one thing, but... But if we lose this game and you're signing cell phones, you're going to have a tough time in this city.
Cell phones, right? Whatever,
right?
Pom-poms.
I mean, you're going to have a tough time in this city if we lose this game, because that's what everybody's going to remember.
Tell people what's going on with Fox this weekend in college football. It seems cool.
Yeah, we're going down to Fort Benning down in Georgia, outside of Atlanta, the Army base down there, and we are going to set up our full NFL show on Sunday down there. Our kickoff show, which I'm on for the first hour, then Jimmy and them roll into their show, and it's going to be neat. We got all the military guys that are excited about us coming down, and we're going to be involved, and I'm just trying to keep myself from jumping out of an airplane. Nine surgeries. Too many surgeries.
They want you to jump out of an airplane?
Got a knee.
I got a knee. I got two knees. I got two knees and five surgeries worth of knees.
That's a lot of knees. Awesome. Thank you, Dave, as always.
All right.
See you soon.
That was a lot of fun. 312-644-6767. Your toughest question for Paul Ciarchi, and next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Score.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I got your chips, and I couldn't resist the complete encyclopedia to fantasy football. Look, it has all the latest
Maria
rankings.
Said Cheetos, not Fritos.
Paul Ciarchian.
He's a fantasy football genius, okay?
Fantasy football expert for Fanball.
It's just a fantasy. Oh, it's not a real thing. Oh.
I think it's pretty easy to keep my fantasy football life away from my real life.
Taking your fantasy questions every week.
Paul Ciarchian.
To make us all happy. You know, if you're one of those people like, hey, I got you on my fantasy football team, because I don't care about your fantasy football team. But your fantasy football team probably sucks.
Paul Ciarchian with McNeil and Parkins.
It's a fantasy football thing.
On 670 The Score.
Thanks to Dave Wanstead for joining us. The bottom of the hour was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves, fun fact, through the first 11 games, the Wolves have the highest scoring offense in the Western Conference. The Wolves return to Allstate Arena Saturday at 7 to face Rockford, Sunday at 3 against Milwaukee. Visit chicagowolves.com. This conversation with Charge brought to you by Marvin Design Gallery by Evanston Lumber. They feature Marvin windows and doors for new construction, remodels, and replacement. Visit their showroom in Lake Bluff or find them online at marvinbyevanstonlumber.com today. Charge from fanball.com. How you doing, my friend?
If you want the honest answer, I'm sore.
Why? What did you do? Go scrub the aquarium gravel or something? What's the matter?
I'd like to think that wouldn't make me sore.
Well, I'm saying you're wimpy.
So imagine, that's true, although I think I could beat up Bernstein. So there's that.
Touche.
Touché. All right. Imagine, if you will, I'm in my kitchen. I got a bunch of people over. I'm talking to somebody, and I'm facing them, but I take a couple of steps backwards because I'm going to go do something on the other side of the kitchen. Unbeknownst to me, somebody has opened my dishwasher and pulled the lower rack out, and they're putting dishes away.
Brian Billick.
Brian Billick's never been to my house. I, not knowing that this is open, full weight totally fall right into the bottom rack of the dishwasher. Imagine the forks, the plates, the tines that stick up, you know, in the bottom, all of that, full weight. And then to add insult to injury, because I'd end up jarring the entire thing out of the cabinet, right? And it's all tilted. Here comes the top rack at my head. Top rack hits me. Broken plates, bleeding, sore, the whole thing.
Did you require stitches?
I did not, because, you know, I'm a guy. We just rubbed some
dirt
on it.
You just bruised up. And,
yeah.
You'll play.
Well, so you're okay.
I'm okay. I mean,
well,
I'm here today. But, yeah, it was – I am still sore, though. It's now like 3 days later, still sore.
That sucks.
Yeah, sorry about that. Hey, Charge, we're in a league. Danny and I share a league that's just the Wild West, unlimited free agency. I'm really struggling, but I'm still out to still swinging and trying to make something out of nothing. And I pick up Curtis Samuel today for tonight's Panthers and Steelers game. I know he doesn't have many numbers for the year, but he was a two-touchdown man last week. You're saying no.
Well, it's just the problem is, to Norv Turner's credit, their offensive coordinator, they've developed all these guys. They've got all these targets now, and a lot of them just aren't getting fed. And that's the problem with Curtis Samuel. It's not talent. The bigger problem, you know, for better or worse, is
it's
just spreading around. He's two, three catches, touches a game, a couple
Funches
of runs a game.
Sucks, by the way.
Yeah.
Devin Funches doesn't catch him in bunches, so I had to do something there. Okay,
well,
thanks.
Okay, but tonight, Funches has got 5 inches and 30 pounds on Joe Hayden, who's probably going to cover him, and I kind of like him tonight.
Okay, I cut him this morning, so thanks.
I like it. That's a frustration cut. So you went from the every down starter, the guy that's on the field all the time, to a guy who's on the field like 30% of their
That's
play.
How you get last place, George.
Yeah, sometimes you got to swing from the heels, man.
All
I'm
right.
willing to try anything.
If it made you feel better, okay.
What do you like in tonight's game?
I like any home game with Ben Roethlisberger is it's game on. It doesn't even matter who the opponent is. 23 home games since 2015. He's averaging almost 3 touchdown passes a game. He's scored in 22 of the 23, and this year is right on that same kind of pace. Carolina's given up multiple passing touchdowns in every game since the opener, so I like all of those angles for the entire passing game there quite a bit.
All right, your toughest either-or with Charch from Fanball.com. Anything we need to know in terms of your auctions that you got going on over there, by the way?
The Fanball auctions are the funnest 5 minutes in fantasy football, and they're free to play. If you just want to try the crazy, frantic, multiplayer action that we've got in our auction games, or you can play for free or play for cash. It's your choice. But, yeah, highly encourage people to check that out.
All right, your toughest either-or. Tell us the two players and who they're playing, and Charch will tell you who to start in Naperville. Garrett, you're on with Charch. Go.
What's up, guys? Touchdown dependent league. I am in a bye week hell right now. Anthony Miller against Detroit or Corey Davis versus New England? Who's going to get in the end zone?
Corey Davis never scores, and then he also gets Stephen Gilmore, who shadows the opposing team's best corner, best wide receiver, and that's usually a death sentence for them, and that'll be Corey Davis because they don't even have another wide receiver on Tennessee. So he's out. We'll take Anthony Miller and keep our fingers crossed.
In Peoria, this is a high-class problem. Andrew is on with Charge. Go.
Hey, I have an Empire League half-point PPR. I have Christian McCaffrey against Pitt or Ezekiel Elliott against Dallas.
Yeah, that is a high class.
Against Philly.
You're actually going to go. We're going to go Christian McCaffrey here. Zeke slumping over the last four games, averaging just 3.3 yards per carry. And Philadelphia is one of the two best run defenses, and especially in Philly. They've held opposing teams under 80 yards rushing in 6 of their last 8 games. So, and get this, only Saquon Barkley has topped 42 rushing yards against Philly all year. So, brutal matchup for Ezekiel Elliott in this game. My number 16 running back, about as low as you'll ever see him.
What are you telling people to do with Dez Bryant?
Run. Run away. Yeah, the team that knows him best and desperately needed help at wide receiver, the Cowboys, wanted nothing to do with him. Then he goes on all these team-by-team tours and tryouts. Nobody signs him. Finally, he dupes one organization crazy enough to sign him. We don't know if he's going to be – is he going to be the third wide receiver or the sixth wide receiver? How long will it take him to get up to speed? The only thing working in his advantage – by the way, can't separate, hasn't been able to separate for a couple of years, and that's, I think, mostly why Cowboys got rid of him. The only thing going in Dez Bryant's favor – Drew Brees. that's it. And I don't even know how much he's going to be on the field. I'm not interested. We'll let somebody else go there. I'd much rather have their other promising rookie, Traquan Smith. I'd much rather have him from the same team.
Let's go to Romeoville and welcome David to the Score with Charge. Go ahead, David.
Independent League, should I start Goff or Rodgers versus Seattle and God?
Okay. I don't know what an independent league is, but all right.
Yeah,
sure.
The Rams are home with Seattle and the Packers are home with Miami.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is my number five quarterback this week. The only thing that's going to slow him down against Miami is the success of his running game. Miami's 29th in rushing yards allowed. And by the way, I love Aaron Jones this week. I think this is going to be the big breakout game potentially coming. Even if Rodgers limits his throwing, though, potentially a terrific game. Just 2 weeks ago, Deshaun Watson put up 5 touchdowns on just 20 passes against Miami. So I think one way or another, he's going to do well. And by the way, you guys following Marquez Valdez-Scantling,
yeah,
their emerging rookie receiver?
100-yard plus last week.
Yeah, baby. He's now found the end zone or topped 100 yards in 4 straight games. They just put Geronimo Allison on IR. He's your starter, and I think he's going to be the starter for several years with Aaron Rodgers. The kid is legit, and he brings speed to the receiver position that they have not had since like Jordy Nelson pre-ACL. So I think he's set for a nice run here, including this week.
In Orleans Park, Ray is on with Charge. Go ahead, Ray.
Hi, I have a tight end black hole, Austin Hooper or Jordan Reed.
Great opportunity to start Jordan Reed. Now, granted, he's done basically nothing all year, but what a good matchup against Tampa Bay. They have allowed a tight end touchdown in 5 of their last 6 games. They've given up the second most points to tight ends, at least 52 yards to the position in 7 of 8 games. If not now, never for Jordan Reed. Absolutely start him here.
Tampa is awful, aren't they?
Oh, so bad. Secondary is unbelievably bad. They've got the worst starting cornerback in the NFL, a guy named M.J. Stewart. And get this. In his coverage, he's giving up an almost perfect passer rating to opposing quarterbacks. It's 149 is the passer rating he's giving up.
Very generous. That is so sweet.
Very giving nature of M.J. Stewart right there.
Colin in River West, is on with Charge. Go ahead, Colin.
What's up, P. Charge? I got half-point PPR Tariq Cohen against the Lions or Mark Ingram against the Bengals.
So, well, let me throw this to you guys. Tariq Cohen's usage has gone down dramatically the past few weeks. A nice matchup potentially here, but what do you think about the usage that we're seeing as Jordan Howard's getting a lot more work over the past several weeks?
I think last week that was predicated on the scoreboard at the time. They were in a position where they could salt away a victory. I think Cohen is much more desirable in the eyes of the man calling the plays, Matt Nagy.
Especially in a PPR. I think it's going to be the offense spreads it around a lot, but Cohen still is the big play potential.
Yeah. Still here against, and I still like Cohen. He's my number 26 running back. I really like Mark Ingram up at number 13. The previous 3 weeks against Cincinnati, James Conner, Kareem Hunt, and Peyton Barber have all had at least 85 yards or more rushing, and they're giving up 5 yards per carry on the season. It's a really nice matchup for Mark Ingram.
Texter has James White against Tennessee or Adrian Peterson against Tampa. I'm just kidding. That's one of the dilemmas I have.
Is it really?
Yeah.
If you don't know,
Danny from Lincoln Park texted that.
That's right.
This is the time to sell on Adrian Peterson. So both starting guards just went on IR. Their left tackle, Trent Williams, who's awesome, is out for another couple of weeks after thumb surgery. And their right tackle is 50-50 to miss this game. Adrian is a guy who's always needed his lanes. He's not somebody who just manufactures running lanes. He takes a lane and then he maximizes it, and that's been why he's been good. We're running behind a good offensive line. Now they don't have that, and it's time to sell on Adrian Peterson.
Charge, the ageless Frank Gore had 21 touches against the Jets. He's at Green Bay this week. Is that a decent desperation move if somebody is considering it?
Maybe even more than desperation. I got him at running back 22. In the past 4 weeks, he's averaging 14 carries a game. That's not bad. And the 4 backs who managed at least 14 carries against the pack have averaged 94 rushing yards on 5 yards a carry and a touchdown. So if he gets his regular usage, you're looking at almost a 100-yard game and a touchdown on average based on what Green Bay gives up.
You like Gore more than Kenyon Drake?
I do. Drake's just been way too up and down on his usage, way too much. I got Drake way down at 41, and Gore has out-carried Drake every game since week two. That tells me plenty.
Speaking of two-back systems, now that Dalvin Cook is back and healthy, how is that going to shake out in your fine city?
Buy this week.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, buy this week, but it's a good time to buy on Dalvin Cook. I still think there's a lot of nervous owners right now. And, you know, Murray will continue to get goal line work, but Cook is special. He had a 71-yard run last week in his first game back. Mm-hmm. That was the fastest clock time of any running back this year. So he's fully back, and the Vikings' offensive line is finally getting healthy, and things are starting to click for the Vikings, and the schedule's very favorable the rest of the year.
Rob in Glendale Heights is on with Charge. Go ahead, Rob.
Hello, boys. Half-point PPR flex position. With the injury to Carson, I'm left with Mike Williams at Oakland or Tyler Lockett at the Rams. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We love Tyler Lockett in this game against the Rams. Lockett, all he's done is score in six different games this year. And this Rams secondary, remember when Marcus Peters was defensive rookie of the year?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Now, doesn't it feel like forever ago? Because he's getting roasted now every single game. The last five receivers to line up against Marcus Peters are averaging 125 yards per game, and it's Tyler Lockett this week. Love him.
Has he been bad? Is it a product of him following guys around the field? Do you have any idea what happened to him?
He really hasn't been bad. In fact, he only plays one side of the field oftentimes, and so it's, you know, he can't escape good or bad receivers. They'll line up guys that they think have a good matchup and just run at him all day. It's been a disaster. The Chiefs had figured out a way to utilize him well, and the Rams haven't yet.
In Tinley Park, Mike, last one. You're on with Charge. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's a half a point PPR. I got Kels in my tight end spot, so I'm looking for the flex. Either Tevin Coleman or Zach Ertz.
Kels is a good player. Yeah,
I like Kels.
Kels's brother.
Why would you ever not start Zach Ertz under any circumstance? He's the best receiver. By the way, you got Kels. Why do you need Ertz? It's Kels or Ertz.
You should trade one of the two, right?
You should trade one of the two, and you can get a king's ransom because there are 2.5 functional tight ends in the league anymore. That's it. And Gronkowski, by the way, we all assumed he was going to play this week. He still might not play this week. Total disaster scenario for his owners. Yeah, why don't you trade one of those, but in the meantime, start Zach Ertz.
Be safe this weekend. Don't trip over any household items again. Let's just, you know, it's a Vikings-less weekend for you, so just relax and be safe. Maybe enjoy a movie. There's some new ones out that look kind of intriguing.
Have you seen Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, I'm going to go see it. I'm not the world's biggest Queen fan, but there aren't enough rock docs in film form, so I'm going to go see
that. Not nearly enough.
I'm going to take Patrick, my autistic son, to see the new Grinch cartoon, even though it looks awful, and I want to take Danny's recommendation and go see the remake of a remake of a remake, A Star Is Born. So
is
I got
that
three.
Any good, Danny? You saw it? You liked it?
Yeah. I mean, if you they'll tug at your heartstrings, and if you like music, it's good.
I like music, but I don't like Lady Gaga's music.
Oh, she was the best part of the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Her
no
voice.
No nude scenes, right?
One semi. Nah,
I don't need Lady Gaga's side boob. I'll be honest.
Okay. Well, all then right. You don't have to watch.
All right, good.
But her voice is pretty damn good, Charge.
Well, I can't deny
Kate
that
Winslet
part.
Is still making movies, Charge, so you have that going for you.
Talk to you next week.
See you, Charge.
I love that guy.
From Fanball. He is a goofball. Well, speaking of an all-time goofball, your guy, Terry Bohr, is coming up soon.
Yes, he is. We'll talk to the Baron, the Mokina Flash, Frosty Peters, and all of those nicknames in a little bit.
In about 25 minutes, where McNeil and Parkins on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.